incorporeal man needs only one defense, the knowledge of his own incorporeality. That's all he needs. Just the knowledge of who he is. When you leave this seminar with that knowledge, there will be a new you coming through. A you that will not look at the calendar anymore. You that will want to say to the world, wake up. Wake up. And there will be people in your household. And without trying, you will lift them up. Because automatically, you will know the truth of them. You will discover that you have an incorporeal child in your family. And the miracle of it will make itself known to you in many ways. I, in the midst of thee, am mighty. Through your Christ mind now, the Father sends all the wisdom that is necessary to awaken in you the knowledge that you are pure spirit. That you live in a spiritual household. That you live in a spiritual universe. That you will always be living in a spiritual universe without end. All the boundaries are lifted. There is no parenthesis. You are not in an interlude. You are permanent self. And this should only come into your realization as you drop the corporeal belief in life. Dwelling in this level of consciousness, you discover that you take no precautions about your life. You don't plan. You have no fear. You don't try to anticipate problems that may occur. You have a quiet confidence that this invisible force of spirit is living its life as you. And you get a sudden awareness that that is what grace is all about. That the Father in you is the same Father who is everywhere. And that the miracle of infinity translates itself everywhere, that there is one who can accept the spiritual nature of life. The grace of spirit functions in you, through you, and as you. It doesn't depend on your ingenuity. It doesn't depend on what you forgot or what you remember. The moment you have accepted your spiritual identity and extended to its fullness to the best of your ability, the grace of spirit unites you with your source. And the love of your source encompasses all that concerneth thee. Effortlessly. Your spirit is alive throughout eternity now, and its aliveness has no beginning or end in time. There is no place in the universe that your spirit is not now alive. You need that experience. You need it often to become aware of the truth of it. And the power of it. And the moment you start to direct it, you lose it. I in the midst of thee am mighty, and I am limitless. I am your incorporeal self. Every time you descend in consciousness into a physical self, you are going back to the imitation. You are once more the prodigal son. Spirit is one, and besides spirit, there is no other. When Christ came into the awareness of the world as Jesus and said, I am the resurrection, people were used to praying in temples. Results weren't very good. He said, know you not that your body is the temple of the living God? To the woman at Samaria, he said, henceforth, men will not pray in temples made with hands. But rather in the temple of the soul, in the inner temple, the inner sanctuary. He was leading mankind to that inner temple where all true prayer occurs. And this prayer is not a request for help at all. This prayer is the knowledge that I am the incorporeal spirit. This takes you into your holy temple. Where grace is the only activity needed. Where God runs his perfect universe, where you stand. What did Paul mean when he said, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, meaning our human bodies, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul was bringing to man's attention the incorporeal body of spirit. We are confident to be absent from the body, the corporeal body, and present with the Lord in our incorporeal body. As you're absent from the physical form, as you leave the belief in physicality. As you transcend the world illusion of 5 billion physical forms on this earth, you are absent from the body. And as you accept the one incorporeal body of God as your body, you are present with the Lord. It was in that body, that incorporeal body, that Jesus Christ could say to Pilate, "Thou hast no power over me." It is in that body that you can say to the so-called powers of this world, "Thou hast no power over me." And it is in that body that you need say nothing. For there is no power over your incorporeal self. When you have that awareness, you have the antidote to every human physical problem. Think of the strange problems we suffer from because of our lack of awareness that we are the incorporeal body of God. That's why we're vulnerable. World mind says, "This is your problem." The individual mind says, I. And then the body manifests what the world mind and the individual mind attest to. I don't know who the wise man was who discovered it, but I know Jesus demonstrated it, that the corporeal body is not a body at all. There is no such thing. It's a state of mind made visible. Corporeality is a state of mind. So we're told you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve corporeally and also incorporeally. But when you make your choice which master you will follow, you also inadvertently decide whether you're going to be put in a tomb or not. You can see then that incorporeality is not an intellectual idea that you can write down in a notebook and memorize and hope that you'll remember it when you need it. It's far too important to be treated that lightly. You have to spend an incorporeal day, an incorporeal year, and then an incorporeal lifetime. Until incorporeality is your normal environment, your normal identity, until you accept the incorporeality of your neighbor, of your business associates, of your relatives, even while they do not. And which is going to be more important to you? The relationship that you have with other people or the truth that you live? That's your hurdle. If you decide in favor of those relationships rather than the truth, you will shortchange them and yourself. Find somebody who has made a choice. Talk to them. Find out how they got through the difficulty of stepping out and being separate. Learn from them what you should expect. Be willing to ask questions. Maybe you'll get some good tips. In the Sermon on the Mount, you were taught the incorporeality of man. But as most people read it rather casually, they were unaware what they were being taught. You'll see it all very clearly now. Ye have heard it said, an eye for an eye, but I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn the other also. That must have sounded strange. We must have wondered about it and said, now why should I do that? I know a better way. And then when they said, someone takes your cloak, give him your coat, somebody sues thee at the law, always you were supposed to go along with it. Give him twice what he asked. Go twain. And you thought, now, that's a weakling's point of view. I can hire a better lawyer than he can. I can show a little muscle. I can do this. I can do that. And you were being taught to look at life with a spiritual eye and not with a physical eye. You're being taught that if you stand in the secret place of the Most High, if you stand in the incorporeality of man, if you interpret this from a spiritual viewpoint, you might find some pleasant surprises. And so all through the sermon, right down to the lilies of the field who are clothed in such a way that no human being is clothed, we were still being taught of the spiritual nature of what appears to us as a physical world. And always the point of it was, if God so clothed the lilies of the field, think how God has clothed thee. And we were supposed to add, I have been clothed in the Spirit of God. I have a spiritual body, an infinite spiritual body. The body of God is my body. Who can smite me on the eye? They can't touch my incorporeal self. And the knowledge of that is the only protection I need. The only truth I need know. I don't have a physical cloak to give anyone. Of course, Francis of Assisi knew all that, as you know if you read his life. They couldn't keep his clothes on his back. He was always giving them away. He was clothed in the Spirit. And while he was giving away his physical clothes, he was clothing in his consciousness the world around him in their spiritual, incorporeal self. I don't think his church even knew that. The incorporeal nature of man is the truth which the Christ teaches and exemplifies. And when you look deeply into your Bible, you find many cases where the mystical truth is exposed to your spiritual eye. I'd like you to see now that because you are incorporeal, you are eternal. See if you can take that into consciousness and find an answering chord within. I am eternal being. There might be a tendency to place that in the future. Please don't. Your eternal self is now. Your eternal self is always now. Even when you might be momentarily in a state of fear, your eternal self is present and can be realized. Thank you. You are never separated from the infinite Spirit of God. My eternal self is as eternal as God, for we are one spirit, without size, without shape, without density, one incorporeal, eternal I. Whenever you find yourself straying from that knowledge, you are opening yourself to the hypnosis of the world mind. Whenever you find yourself straying from that knowledge about a friend, you are opening yourself to the hypnosis of the world mind. But the moment you stand in that knowledge, you find that the I of you is the resurrection. An individual recently, very recently, said to me that she was seeking the purpose of life and wondered what it was for her. I was quite surprised. And so I'd like to reiterate that the purpose of life is to make transition. That's the purpose. There is no other purpose. Every other purpose is a human purpose. There are no human purposes. One must lift one's consciousness beyond a human purpose. That's the purpose of this seminar. That there are no human purposes. Every human purpose fails. No matter how great you are as a human being, you're temporary. What good is it? We are trying to find God's purpose in man. God's purpose is not to glorify human beings. There's a great deal of satisfaction in human success, but that's not God's purpose in man. And we need human success, but it's not the ultimate. Sometimes it's possible to overlook the divine purpose in yourself for quite a while. And then suddenly, at a late stage in life, we suddenly awaken. Look at all the wonderful things I've done, and yet I feel empty. Look at all the marvelous friends I had, and yet now I'm alone. That's because in the imitation life of humanhood, there comes a moment when you're face to face with the imitation. And it never has a complete answer, because the imitation can never perfectly duplicate the reality. And you find all the dear people who are in your life, they too are unaware of the ultimate purpose of life. To make a transition from humanhood to divinity. And unless you accept that as your purpose, you'll be here again trying to find the purpose. Because there is no other purpose. Every other purpose is a substitute. It is time to find your soul. Because your soul is going to act as the translator of your Christ mind. Your soul is going to receive through your Christ mind the direct word of God and translate it into your experience. Place it where it is needed. And the only way you can find your soul is to get out of that mind that is looking for a human purpose. If you cannot catch this, you won't do any harm to yourself. You'll simply delay your evacuation of humanhood. But when and if you catch it, and you refuse to let your mind be a servant of the world mind, which places into your mind its ambitions, its greed, its purposes, which are all imitations of the divine purpose, you will find that you are sallying forth with a great and noble idea of what you're going to do. And you won't be accomplishing your spiritual purpose on this earth. You must receive your purpose through your soul from your Christ mind, which receives direct from God. Everything in life that is real comes from one divine source. Many of the people in this room are very successful. And yet those who have attained success are still looking for something beyond success. They're looking for that extreme humility which opens their soul to God's purpose. And the knowledge of the omnipresence of Spirit is the beginning of finding that purpose. The following of the seven rules, which enable you to stay on the path of the Spirit. And finally, the removal of the sense of being a corporeal being is another forward step. And from these two principles, you will find yourself being introduced into the secret chambers of the Most High, where the real purposes of life are brought into your consciousness, not by words of men, but by thoughts of the world mind or the human mind, but by divine thought. And your purposes are not unrelated to God, but ordained by God. Then you walk forth knowing what you are to do. And it comes direct from your source. You must give God access to your soul. And you must give your soul to the Christ. Only the Christ can give you your purpose. God has no human children and no human purposes. If you accept incorporeality, you have no corporeal purpose. If you are seeking a corporeal purpose, you are rejecting incorporeality. Take another look at the life of Jesus Christ. Did he teach men to find a human purpose? Did not a young man approach him and say, how can I attain eternal life? And the answer given to the man turned him away because he wanted a human purpose. And what Jesus said didn't help him. The further you get in your journey in this world, the more you realize your human purpose is a decoy. I hope I've stressed that enough. Your human purpose is a decoy. You only have a divine purpose because you are divine. A human purpose keeps you anchored in mortality. So if you want a purpose, and if your purpose is not clear to you, in the deep sanctuary of your soul, wait for your divine purpose. But be sure you wait as living spirit, incorporeal spirit. For only to incorporeal spirit does the Spirit of God yield its divine purpose.